This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As always, another lovely day. Any day in Hawaii is beautiful. Any day just to be alive and kicking is quite good, but especially if you're fortunate to be here and the good weather and the good people, good food, and all of that, and good government and good taxes and good, but anyway, we're going to be talking about government and abuse of the powers and things of that nature. So if you want to join in, 524-1080 is the number. And we're going to be talking later about shark finning. And I don't know if you're aware of this. You saw it in the paper. But the federal government, the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, but I come to call them the National Organization Against Animals. And that seems to be what it is, and what we'll lay that out for you. We know, we see them, NOAA especially, we see them with the monk seal, and there is that issue. And they get that Bambi moment. We care for the dolphins, and we care for the whales. And when I would like to just lay it out to you and share with you that the only animal NOAA cares about, really, is the buck. And I don't mean the deer, but the buck. They just absolutely, part of their whole activity, their origin is a bunch of guys that work for CIA and all of that. So this fisheries thing is quite sensitive. We still have Kitty Simons who's laying in the cut. We know that the Honorable Danny Noy left town and is deceased now. But in place is still his Kitty Simons, the girl that gives away the candy shop to anybody that comes along. And quite naturally, I suspect in her capacity, nobody stays in that long. Methuselah didn't even bother to stay around forever, but she seemed to want to compete with him. And if you look at these policies, and there's this gentleman named the director administrative NOAA, Mike Tosato, former Coast Guard. And this is, they groom these guys who serve on the, they're active duty on Coast Guard, and they serve on the Westpac Council. And then for some sneaky way, they get the job. So he has gotten the job, and he is now recommending that we lift the shark finning ban here in Hawaii and other states. But anyway, we're going to talk about all of that later on. But right now, I have Chun James on the line, and we're going to be talking about Hau'ulan. As we talked about this a while back, her experience with the city and county of Honolulu, where she had property, or has property, I guess, and the government, the city government, is trying to take it away, or is taking it away, or maybe, I let me back up, they're stealing it. Let's just say it that way. Taking could be, but anyway, she's going to share with us some of her concerns and the letter that she wrote back to Mayor Caldwell. It seems to continue, no matter what the face is. Good morning, Chun, are you there?
Hello, good morning, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I was just giving an introduction as to what you were going to share with us. And tell us a little bit about yourself and where you come from and as out there in Hau'ula and what have you. What is going on with your incident now regarding your property that the city is trying to, what, eminent domain issues?
Yes. I had listened to you couple of minutes, and it seems like there are some overriding factors here that, you know, no matter what issue it is, mm-hmm. we have the same problem with malfeasance, I would call that. Now, in our case, and I know we've talked to you before and once in a little while, the Department of Construction and Design, or Department of Design and Construction, is, mm-hmm. is that big city department that takes care of public works. And they are in the process of trying to, again, find a property that is way bigger than what is needed for a relocation of the Hau'ula Fire Station. Now, what is interesting is that in 2010, under the administration of Murphy Hannemond, DDC, the Department of Design and Construction, wanted to condemn two business zone property in Hau'ula. Those of you who know Hau'ula, it is the lots, it is just by the Hau'ula Kai Shopping Center. It's a rural community, and they wanted to condemn two lots. And since the Murphy Hanneman administration, it had just sat in court and nothing has been done. But it is just recently that this case is being resurrected. Mm-hmm. Now, my letter, I had written a response to Mayor Kurt Caldwell. He had sent a letter to the Honolulu City Council on June 20th, and it was widely distributed, and part of his objection to the City Council budget session this year was that he objected to the City Council deleting the Hau'ula Fire Station project funding. Now, I understand that, you know, no mayor knows everything about city workings. I mean, that we have to consider, because nobody can know everything about an operation. But he was objecting to the city council deleting 750,000 for what we call planning and design of that project. Now, those of us who are involved in looking at city operations, this planning and design is a very elusive, loose gun type of a waste that we see it all over the place. But anyway, getting back to the mayor's objection of the city council not funding that 750 this past budget session, I wrote him a letter explaining to him why it would be really foolish of the city council to even release that freebie. Because right now, our property, Lot 65, is still in litigation. Mm-hmm. And anybody knows that a litigation can take a little while. And so for the city council to just release $750,000 just for planning and design does not make sense.
Excuse me, when you say litigation, what type of litigation? There's a variety, so what specifically to this case, what is the litigation?
When the city council adopts a resolution to condemn, of course the judge would have to hear the case, and that started in 2010. But because the city has been vacillating back and forth, nothing has been done, except that in December of 2012 last year, Deputy Corporation Attorney Winston Wong had gone back to the judge to say that, hey, they wanted a valuation trial. Now, but that's jumping the gun, because the trial for public use, you know, whether the city really needs to condemn, has not even begun.
That is the first step, correct?
Yes, that's the first step. And so that action by the Corporation Council deputy, of course, is premature, and the judge denied that. And I would say that for DDC to ask for $750,000 for planning and design is also very premature. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we were having problems with city not enough having money. You know, the mayor itself says that we need to brace for cuts in city services. Mm-hmm. And yet, on the other hand, there is this rogue department in my mind that is asking for money left and right for no good reason.
Basically anticipating, or when I read your letter and seeing that action, it suggests a couple of things, and that is the fix is on, because you can't predict the outcome of a court case, and why would you go ahead and get the money when the courts may rule against you? It would be an act of futility, and it's why would you do that when there are so many other projects? And if it's waited this long, or they're just going to take your land anyway, no matter what.
Well, they cannot legally take it without due process.
Yeah, I understand, but the point, I'm just speaking to them grabbing the money. Obviously, we agree there, because it's you wouldn't have the court case in the process, but I'm just speaking to why would they go ahead prematurely, as you've described, trying to get the money issued when the project hadn't been approved.
Well, my guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the viewers out there have a better experience, my guess is that a lot of times the DDC seems to be a candy store. that, you know, seriously.
What time does it open? I would like to know.
$700,000 is a lot of money for most of us.
Right.
But they could give this contracts to whoever, their favorite friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not the end result is good for the public or is good for the taxpayers, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you a couple examples, Carol. In this case, relating in this case, I'm sure there are lots out there. Now, they hired their favorite appraiser from Maui.
Who is that? I mean...
It was Ted Yamamura.
Okay.
Why on earth does a city, county of Honolulu department need to hire an appraiser all the way from Maui? You know, and just relating to this relocation, there have been a lot of times where the same consultant for the environmental assessment
mm-hmm.
has done assessment for the same purpose. And they have continually violated a very basic core requirement, and that is that they need to consult. They need to consult with the most affected parties so that they can be engaged in the public dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case here, on my lot, neighbors who live as close as 25 feet to this proposed lot was never consulted. Now, this is not the first time they have done an environmental assessment on this purpose either. They've done one in Hanaimoa Street, and the same thing happened. They did not consult
mm-hmm.
with the most affected people. And I've been told that this assessment, environmental assessments, known as EAs, they cost about $50,000 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot of waste going on, and that's the reason why I say it's a candy store, because
mm-hmm.
I sure would love to be on the in with contracts with DDC.
No, you wouldn't be, because we'd be talking about you on the Carol Cox show. You'd be in a different position.
Well, I can assure you that for $50,000,
yeah.
I would promise to talk to everybody surrounding a given project.
Well, I'm waiting to get my Lexus and my penny loafers and my Aloha shirt, you know. Seems to be the uniform of the guys in the groove that has access to the candy shop.
Well, but the sad thing is that you see, and I'm not saying that the whole operation of the city county of Honolulu is in shambles. I have met a lot of responsible and very caring employees of the city.
Mm-hmm.
But all you need is a few to cause a lot of grief to our pocketbooks.
Right.
You know, because they have immense powers to waste money.
Mm-hmm. So what the status of this now is that the money, the city council, let's digress a bit, the city council did not approve it or have voted not in favor of this project, and Caldwell is still pushing on. Can you clarify? I was attending to something else when you spoke to that. Could you?
Yeah, no problem. Since the adoption of the resolution to condemn by necessity,
okay.
They have automatically filed an order in court, which is customary.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has happened. In fact, the Carlisle administration had said that they were willing to look at alternative sites.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing has happened till just December 12, 2012, where Winston Wong, the Corporation County, wants to begin with the valuation trial, which is, of course, premature. And then the city county of Honolulu has, for the past two budget sessions, deleted and defunded this project. Mm-hmm. And there are very good reasons, which there are too many to provide for you right. this morning. But one of the biggest reasons is if the mayor wants to build a fire station, another fire station in Haula today, it can. Because it has already purchased Lot 64, which is about 20,000 square feet. Now, this lot is sufficient for a typical fire station. So the good news for the mayor, as I wrote to him, is that they can build another fire station in rural Haula if they wanted to. Because we had an expert witness look at all the other fire stations in Oahu and also in Washington, just to give it a little bit zest to it. And the Macaulay Mo'ili'ili Fire Station, a beautiful fire station in the middle of busy downtown, it sits on 19,555 square feet. Okay, and then the fire station Makaloa Fire Station by the Pan Am Building, right by Kapiolani Boulevard, mm-hmm. that sits on the same amount of land area.
This land. If you can, what is the value of this land, the cost in U.S. dollars? What is the market value?
The market value, I would give up a sum of about $1 million.
Okay.
And
the owner, in which you are the owner? Or partner or what have you?
I have a lot next to Lot 64, which the city has already owned.
Right.
So as I say, if they wanted to, they could begin to build another Haula Fire Station.
On that lot. But I'm talking specifically about the one that you're engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
This is a lot that you have financial interest or ownership.
Yes, part. I have part interest
and,
in it.
And so the case, is you're the one of the partners or people that are contesting the city's actions and Caldwell's actions, correct? What I'm getting at, this is not a community effort. I want the listeners to know, and we don't want to present something as if it's we're concealing something. It's your property, rightfully yours, and you have a right to fight for it. I mean,
yes,
and
yes.
demand fair market value.
Yes.
Or if you wanted to sell it or if have it, they should acquire it legally and properly.
Yeah, but the idea that the city would condemn land by necessity when it doesn't need it should be a fear for every private property owner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the very beginning of this process, the Haula community board member, the most affected people in Haula, the Ko'olauloa Neighborhood Board Chair, and about 397 petition signatures was sent to Donovan Dela Cruz, who was then the city councilman, to tell him that condemnation by necessity was premature and that to allow them to have a public information meeting and to allow them to have dialogue. And Donovan Dela Cruz totally turned a deaf ear to them. So this is not about, this really is not about me. But of course, because I have an interest in the land, I have standing to be able to bring a court case against the city. So in that sense, you know, it again makes no sense for the city to want to squander funds left and right. There's no reason why, and I still cannot figure it out, why the DDC land chief is not satisfied with a typical lot that you could build a typical fire station on the island. He is fixated on getting double the lot and triple the cost. The Macaulay Mo'ili'ili Fire Station was estimated at $4.6
million.
Mm-hmm. And this fire station in rural Haula now, this Taj Mahal Station, the land chief wants double the lot size and triple the cost at $13
million.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, let's talk about it, and we'll get going with something else. But you had the city to come to your property and take down a sign. I discussed it briefly last week. Can you give us a little background? And this is the same property, Lot 65, is it?
Yes, yes.
And what happened? I there is a video on YouTube you posted.
If you
could briefly share with us what happened, and you're contesting this, I should say.
Yes, yes. Yeah, this is another layer, and unfortunately, there's a lot of bullying going on. We have been bullied in many ways, and on May 29th, the crew from the Halava maintenance yard. Now, Halava is about an hour and a half away from Haula. They came and they raided two of my eminent domain signs on my property, Lot 65.
When you say raided, took them down?
Yeah, they took them down. They came with two, according to eyewitnesses, they came with two trucks and they came with a big tractor machine.
Mm-hmm.
They took it down, and under the guise of Bill 54, that Bill 11-029, that was actually known as the sidewalk bill, that was used to control the situation with the occupying Honolulu at Thomas Square. So when I called, the first thing that lady at Halava said was, "Oh, you must be blocking the sidewalk." I said, this is no sidewalk. These two free speech protest signs are situated inside the private property, behind fences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no sidewalk.
And you are still the legal owner, or one of the owners, and who's paying the taxes on it, currently paying the tax on the property?
We are paying the taxes. We are paying for our yardmen to clean the yard. In fact, last year the city cited us for not keeping the yard clean because they thought the weeds was too tall.
Mm-hmm.
And we paid a $50 fine on it.
So they recognize you as being the legal, they being the city, recognize you as being rightful owner of that property and not the city.
Oh, definitely, very definitely, because the property is in our name. The judge has not given the title away,
mm-hmm.
even though in an eminent domain process, you know, the city can have possession, but that does not grant them.
Has the city issued you a notice of violation or a notice as a result of the violation? A notice of order ordering you to take it down or fining you per day?
No,
That process didn't take place?
No. Usually,
so they just came in without... What kind of notification, written notification, did they give you to say that clearly this was a violation?
No, there was none. And this is certainly not a sign violation because we have the right to free speech on private property.
I understand that. We know that part. I'm just trying to follow to see what steps, if you could convey to the listener. We know that it's you have the free speech. We know that it's your private property. But what kind of due diligence or the formal notice that the city give you, or did they just drive in, if it's locked, that they cut your lock, go in and tear down the sign? That's basically what I'm trying.
Okay.
We already, I think the average person out there knows now that we have free speech, but be specific to this situation. That's what I'm really interested in.
Okay. No, there was no prior notification whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
On May 29th this year, they came and just took down the signs, and then they left a tag. They left a tag that says that they took it down under the guise of Bill 54.
The sidewalk bill. That
yeah,
you
the were, sidewalk bill. And now when I call the city, when I call the Halava maintenance yard,
mm-hmm.
Nobody is saying that they're responsible. Mm-hmm. And I understand that a lot of employees just have to follow orders.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly somebody made that decision to issue this crazy order to raid and to threaten, so I asked them. I said, "Now you have destroyed my signs because I saw it at the La'e Corporation Yard.
Mm-hmm.
So you have destroyed my sign. Also, what are you going to do about it?" And they say, "Oh, you just call the Corporation Council and file a claim."
I see.
Just file a claim as if money grow on trees, you know. So with this rogue behavior, they were just going to come and raid a private property, and anything happens, just file a claim. I get the impression that they're not going to question the claim. They're just going to pay it. But why should taxpayers be paying for this type of rogue behavior?
Right. So this sign wasn't sticking over in the street or blocking traffic. Was it blocking? How high was it approximately?
The sign was about probably 5 to 8 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of signs out this way. We are an independent bunch of people out on this region. There are signs protesting about the illegal overthrow of Hawaii and, mm-hmm. you know, keep the country. And
did they take those signs down?
No.
Why do you think they took yours down?
Well, I suppose I'm their favorite people out this region.
You're the lightning rod of Haula.
Well, you know, I'm working very closely with the neighbors, and I know that a lot of them do not have the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, one of my favorite person there is Auntie Alice. Now, Auntie Alice is almost 77 years old, and she is still working full time at Foodland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the people do not have time to waste.
Right.
To waste, because they have to put bread on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And Auntie Alice is one of the most affected residents.
Mm-hmm.
She lives directly across to this proposed project.
Mm-hmm.
And that $50,000 consultant did not bother to talk with her or consult with her.
Right. So are you going to, on the sign, are you going to file legal action?
Yes, yeah. A civil right attorney says that we have up to a year to file,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's going to be that long. It's just that summertime, people go on trips, you know, on vacation, and so it is taking us a little time to get together, but we will file a lawsuit, I am sure, by August.
Okay.
Or end of July, if we're organized about it.
Yeah, you have that, people can see that at your Facebook, or not Facebook, YouTube. What is a YouTube address for those that have...
Okay, the best thing is to just Google YouTube, Hawaii Eminent Domain Abuse.
Okay.
And there'll be a whole bunch of YouTube that comes out, and it will give a pretty good idea of what Shibai is going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I watched the video, and the guy did say that they came from a lava station,
mm-hmm.
to do it, and as I watched that, and I thought, you know, I get tired of hearing the third world. We act like a third world. We don't act like a world at all. We act like a bunch of thugs. When I saw that, and they wouldn't let you take the sign back,
mm-hmm.
because what they say it's evidence. So did you have to sign anything for
yes.
them and agree to waive something for them to get it back?
Yes. And again, now the people, the employees in La'e and in Haula are very nice people because we work with them. They have said that, hey, we have no part in this. and I totally understand them because it just blew our mind to have this type of a rogue behavior going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one thing they did right properly, that although they came all the way from Halava to Haula, they did not drag the signs all the way back to Halava yard.
Mm-hmm.
they just drop it off. They just dump it off at the La'e yard.
Mm-hmm.
When actually, in fact, you know, it is usually the Haula maintenance yard that takes care of signs.
Right.
So it sits there and... And at first they were going to give it to me in La'e. And then this guy by the name of Alan Sato, who is in charge of, you know, certain responsibilities
right,
in
right.
Halava,
mm-hmm.
he has said, oh, wait, we have to make an appointment with you because we need you to sign off a paper.
So not only they seize your sign, in your opinion, illegally, they now are harassing you by... maybe they realize that this is a civil rights violation, a freedom of speech violation. And have you heard any formal letter from Corp Council or the mayor's office or anybody other than that notice that you found attached to your fence or wherever it was?
Not yet. So mm-hmm. So Ellen Sato told me I could go and claim my sign at the La'e Corporation Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, but when I read the release form, I was not about to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that release form says that, you know, wanted me to acknowledge that my signs were on private property or abandoned on public property, which of course is not true.
So you go around posting your words and your speech, and then you just walk away and abandon your speech.
Yeah, and to say that you know they came to raid these signs on public property is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, hope you luck in that, and keep us posted because I'm interested just from the aspect of seeing how government work and how as individuals we can get pounded like nails sticking out of the plank, you know.
Yeah, I'm convinced that if we all insist on auditing, just auditing the Department of Design and Construction, we could all end up paying lesser taxes. Okay. And we would have more money for city services because there is just totally out of control spending and supervision in that department.
Well, let's see if this caller has a question for you, but my advice to you is watch what you sign.
Right.
No,
right.
I'm just kidding. The sign. Anyway, hold on. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Oh, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I attended, I'm not sure if this is apropos what you're talking about right now, but the two meetings, one yesterday by the... sponsored by the League of Women Voters, Pearl Johnson and staff, and also Thursday, the resolution to disability liaison position. And I can call back if you want.
Yeah, let me complete this if you want to hold on and right quick, and then you can give me that count.
Yes, okay. just very quickly.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Hold on,
yeah.
Hold on, just hold on. June, you have any more in closing?
No, I would just like to maybe have your viewers just look at your fire station and ask your firemen how big their fire station sits on, because chances are high that they're around 20,000 square foot, which the city has today and which they can already build a station if they wish to. There's no need to condemn another lot for it.
Okay, I that's a long shot, but once they find it out, and then you got to come back and compete with it. I would, me personally, I would think, why are you doing it, and why do you need to get money that you don't need if you hadn't been approved? But
yes.
Your fight, I would say the listeners could do just what you asked, but
if they wish to.
But I mean, then what? You know, it's like, can everybody hop in and let's go? Where are we going? You know, so I would try and get something out there to have them to write to the mayor and ask him why is he putting you through this process.
That's an excellent idea. Yeah, ask the mayor why do they need to build a Taj Mahal fireplace?
Yeah, well, I'm stuck on that part of it. I'm kind of, you lose me there when the process being wrong and unjust is what
right,
we deal with.
Right.
I don't give a rat's nest about how a fire station look, if it's pretty, look like Taj Mahal. I want to know how you robbed me to get it. You know, that's making better government. But, you know, they might build a monument to themselves. It might just be that. But how did you take our money, and how did you rob us of the due process, and how did you rob us of free speech and that kind of stuff?
Right, right.
So, okay, well, thank you.
All right, have a good day.
Give us a call back and let me know.
All righty.
All righty, thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Richard.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I will try to do this succinctly, clearly, but as quickly as I can. I attended two different sessions. One was yesterday, sponsored by the League of Women Voters, Pearl Johnson, and staff. The other was this Thursday, and it was the disability liaison position proposal offered by Ann Kobayashi. I'll start with what happened yesterday. It's going to be on a Lello, so therefore any of the 50 channel stations, the 50s, and it was devoted to after the rail project is complete, in operation, running, fact, what does this mean to the public in terms of revenue, funds, money needed for the county, and the services that have to be provided? The panel was made up of Ann Kobayashi from the legislature, the budget chairman, and a Mr. Lynch who represented the parks. Natalie Owasa, who is a CPA, a private citizen, very active in the community, and forgive me, but I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Richard Ubersight, a professional retired economist. Pearl Johnson started with the first comment about the Porter Report, pages 36 and 42, which dealt with the bus and the van. Now, what Ann started with, she was the first person on the left to be asked, and I'll go quickly. The debt service is up and must be paid. Floating bonds causes a raise in the responsibility of the government. She was for lighter rail buses better, and of immediate concern to me is 5307 is where they're taking contingency money from the bus and the van, and they're using it for the rail. And I think I will interject here a document printed black and white, HART FY 2014 business plan. They contend that no money is being taken from the bus and the van by HART. And here is sources of funds. FTA, Federal Transportation, New Start Revenue, and ongoing capital sources of budget, 5309, bus discretionary, formula used for capital costs, and then down under operating sources of funds, fare revenues, bus and rail, fare revenues, the handy van, and it goes on and on, so I'll stop with that document. Now, the vans are being encroached upon. The rider service is terrible, and I have 10 criteria, which I shan't go through. Now, Mr. Lynch talked about Kamalay Park, and this is the park where he wants to provide a food forest service. He had $50,000, but he lost $50,000, and he believes to rail. So here's the follow-up, that this is all about the future now, and that Park and Rec is understaffed and they're underfunded, and he doesn't receive any satisfaction from them. Natalie Owasa is a CPA citizen activist, and future projects are hurt. Pensions, retirements, health insurance has to be paid for. Death service has to be paid for. Union contracts, the state decides, but the county must follow. Funding put in the budget is taken out. Rainy day funds, grants and aid, all a problem. And Richard Oversight, from 2000, he retired. He's an analyst for a large corporation, research and development. He looked at the city-state budget, the rail project. He looks at the big picture now and in the future. Here's some specific comments. Mayor Harris paid for less than was necessary. He didn't fund that which was necessary.
The Mayor Harris.
Yes.
Okay.
And he neglected the infrastructure, roads, sewer, water, education, building benefits, and debt service.
And this is a conclusion this gentleman made,
yes.
Lynch. Okay, go ahead.
And this is a conclusion that he made. He was the fourth person to speak.
It doesn't matter what he came. Trying to get... Go ahead.
There's not enough funding right now. There wasn't then, there isn't now, and there isn't going to be. The taxpayers will suffer. All the people will suffer. There's no transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Bus fares have to go up. Fosse wanted free buses. The rail presented a new problem, and he gave statistics on what it's going to cost for fares. And I'm going to skip over a lot. Pearl Johnson said the tax system is in place. Real property tax is going to have to go up. The revenues come from fees and licenses. It comes from the general excise tax. It comes from the federal government. But ultimately, the real property tax is going to have to go up. Under Mufi in 2004, it was $420 million for real property tax. In 2010, it's $850 million.
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 Okay.
And now, what the public must know, the line budget, you must understand, look for, analyze, research the line budget, city, state, heart. You must follow the raise in wages and health benefits. You must follow union agreements. I'm talking about the public, the people, all of us. There must be transparency, and we must find out who is accountable, and we must hold them accountable.
Okay.
Now, Land Department of Water Supply, I'm not going to go into that. And Natalie Owasa said that there's fraudulent, unethical behavior. There is pressure to do that. These economic pressures cause problems, and this is why certain unethical, fraudulent behavior is
conducted. Did she give specific fraudulent and unethical behavior? Just basically...
Yes.
When in a generic sense that there's fraudulent...
Exactly.
That's puzzling. I mean, what's the purpose of telling someone? We already know that, but how... Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, the actual cost is more than just wages. It's benefits, et cetera.
Okay.
And Renee Ng talked about the young leaving Hawaii, cuts from parks and cultural projects... Garcia wanting to cut these projects several times, and again, in the future, services are going to be cut for the parks and for arts and culture.
What about the other meeting you attended? This just, you sound like you're giving me the list of who's superficially.
Okay, well, just one last
specific
one. Cullen wanted to do away with the mayor and do away with the city council and have the neighborhood boards to decentralize government, and I'll stop there.
Were they doing drugs? Have they been watching the neighborhood boards? Do they know that the mayor appoints many of the people in the neighborhood were?
Where
were they a couple of weeks, months, years ago? Do they realize what the neighborhood board is?
No, Mr. Cox, you're absolutely right. And what he wants to do, I don't understand it. He was involved, because I was too, in Stop the Rail years ago. And he wants to decentralize government. So let me switch to the Resolution 13.
Right, real quick, because we got about 3 minutes.
Okay, Resolution 13-120, urging city administration by Ann Kobayashi to create a disability liaison position to challenge the hardships that are occurring right now, that parasite transfer is not acting, the handy van is not what it should be, and the complaints are frequent, the buses are late, the schedule is wrong. In any event, what she's asking to do, be it resolved that the copies of this resolution be transmitted to the mayor and director of Department of Transportation, May 30th, 2013. That's when this was written.
Right.
And it was Thursday, and it was deferred. So, therefore, no action was taken on it. There are many documents here, and I'm not going to go into them, but she provided one where the city gets its money and how the city expends the money on just two pages, multicolor pie. So my conclusion is exactly what the lady before you said. Fix, fraudulent. They have monopoly. They control the propaganda, the media. And what's sad is the public doesn't understand what's going on. Most of the public doesn't. And either apathy or for whatever reason, it's got to be up to the people to stop what's going on.
Right, and I agree with that part of it, that it's up to the people to start. But I often sit and I wonder, why is it that nothing can get done, a change, and why is it... I don't particularly care to characterize it as being apathy in the most part. I think this is a well-oiled machine. These are sophisticated thieves. Thieves that, if they don't know, they'll go and hire lawyers on the outside, in the exterior. The Corp Council, I've shown that the people there will lie to you and do anything. There are some of their lawyers, and you can go to carolcoxon.com and see some of those instances. But the situation here is apathy, I would say, in this city, takes a back seat to just a contrived, orchestrated institution that is basically, its entire foundation is built on corruption and favoritism.
Amen.
Period. And so at some point we need to draw a line to try and discern what is really apathy. And then just a system that never sleeps, a system that picks and chooses our friends and our co-workers and elevate them to watch the front door. And they indoctrinated and become part of the game. Little do they know they are. So I know many people would love to have a change and tired of seeing their bank accounts drain due to fees and taxes and all. But what can you do? Even if you put together a good battle, a good fight, guess what happened? They got a new trick.
City council and the state are a revolving door.
Yeah, exactly. And a big party, and they got the security guards out there to watch the door. If you see any taxpayers come by, run them away. If you see any activists come by, run them away. But if you see the guy from DDD&H Incorporated, let him in. You know, he got the chicks, he got the booze, he got the wine. Right there on top of, across from the police station, there's that, I talked about that little building there where all the Democrats hang out and drink and shoot snops and shots. And so, anyway, well, thank you, Richard. And we'll get back to you. I'm going to be on next hour, so if you care to call back, if you've got some other things to talk about, feel free. We're going to be talking a little bit about animals and just unethical behavior, huh?
Thank you very, very much.
Call back if you like.
I shall. Thank you.
Aloha.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And I want to thank Chun James. It doesn't sound too big or serious, but, hey, when your rights are taken from you, they're taken. So, anyway, we'll see you shortly.
but she won't tell me what I've done.
Stay tuned for the second half of The Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for The Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, hey, good morning again, and welcome back to The Carol Cox Show. If you're just joining, we're talking to Chun James out at Haula site regarding eminent domain and the building and fire station and that. And Richard DeConte called in to report on some of the meetings that we had talked about last week. Anyway, I'm going to change the subject for a few minutes here in the next 20 or so, and we'll get back to some of the other things. But I want to share with you, I talked to you about the shark finning matter and the proposal. Basically, I'm going to read you an email, a portion of an email, I should say, that was sent out by a Mike Tosato. And Mike is the regional administrator, former Coast Guard. And you would think, we talked about how the Coast Guard and Laura Thielen and those folks finagle their way into the DLNR, and you can see that at carolcox.com. Just calls in the question of ethics, and now we see this guy Tosato, who was a Coast Guard representative, because they have a seat on the Coast Guard in National Marine Fisheries, or the Westpac. Somehow he's found his way, elevated himself. I guess oil floats to the top, so Slick floated to the top, and he's running the place now. But one of the things that I wouldn't be too overly concerned, but it's some of the actions and some of the proposals. So he sent this out to Kitty Simons, who's the head of Westpac. He sent it out to Joseph Cameron down in Guam, and these are top people in conservation departments in Guam, Samoa. He sent one to William Isla, and basically, I just got to let you hear it. And NOAA Fisheries Service filed with the federal government, the Federal Register, the proposed rule to implement the domestic provisions of the Shark Conservation Act of 2010. This rule is needed to bring U.S. federal domestic shark fisheries into compliance with some requirements of the Shark Conservation Act and will provide a 45-day comment period for the public input. I want to bring to your attention that Congress chose to prohibit removing shark fins at sea, not to impose a universal prohibition on the possession of or sale of the shark fins after they are landed. Hawaii and several other states, as well as the U.S. territories, have taken a different approach to this issue and enacted laws that prohibit the possession, sale, trade, or distribution of shark fins. Some of these state shark fin laws may be having an adverse effect on, federally managed shark fisheries. Maybe. For example, some federal fishermen and dealers are reporting difficulty in selling lawfully harvested sharks from federal waters because of state prohibitions on shark fin trade or possession. NMFS, the National Marine Fisheries Service, has included language in the proposed rule explaining our views on preemption. Specifically, the state law is inconsistent with the purpose and objective of MSA would be preempted under the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, the Supremacy Clause. NMFS, or National Marine Fisheries Service, would like to minimize conflict between federal and state laws, and it would be useful to provide any concerns to have during the comment period. The proposed rule and notice soliciting comments will be posted on the PIRO website. Mike Tosato. Well, why would the federal government change law, take an act of supremacy, and make such declaration on something that may have an impact? So I would say, if that is the criteria for making law and making changes and making acts of supremacy under the Constitution, then I sit here and propose that fishing may deplete the world's ocean's population of fish. So therefore, Mr. Tosato, it would be consistent with your line of thinking to go and change the law. Stop fishing. Stop longline fishing. Stop seining. Stop gill netting. Stop hook line, if this is the logical path. So this is clearly an example of what this National Marine Fisheries Service and this NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, you wonder why they are even housed in such, and they are managing the fish, because they carry about the buck. We have to have fisheries. If we're eating fish, It's a reality. I'm not going to try to take on that issue if that's what people eat, but it has to be managed. But when you have an agency, the National Organization Against Animals, or NOAA, then you simply, or it's bogus, it's forever been a bogus process, this Western Pacific Fisheries Council and the other fisheries councils, but to implement a law and say that it may be affecting something, and you not tasking yourself with presenting. Here's the other shoe that should fall in this conversation, and that is federally managed shark fisheries. My question to Tosato, and again, so that you folks, we call it a show. I'm not putting on a show. It's trying to use this microphone and this opportunity to educate you from a different aspect of different point perspective. And that is, some ask me, today, why don't you have some of these people on? And I repeatedly say, if they like to come on, come on. But I'm not going to sit here and entertain people putting out garbage. This is an email that was leaked to us. So we would never know. We're asked to, as the public, we have a 45-day comment period. But in the reality, he's already committed. He's already threatening to do an act of supremacy, take an act of supremacy to pass this, to protect a federally managed shark fin industry. Well, I've spent many a years, folks, nights and days with people standing there waving knives in your face, and I've spent nights laying on the dock out there waiting for the 6 and 11 tons of shark fin come in while they were being transshipped. I mean, I've put my life on the line. The other half of that is that I went to NOAA on numerous occasions and gave them specific information that they could have prosecuted people for violations. They would take the information and pretend to be investigating. Now I understand why we never had a prosecution from NOAA or National Marine Fisheries Service on shark finning in this state. They are liars, folks. I personally have given them evidence, documents, even the actual shark fins and everything to talk about the Lacey Act. I've given them that information. And to add insult to injury, I was on one occasion, actually two, the Discovery Channel was doing some a story and on shark finning. And I actually had NOAA to actually call me, or the National Marine Fisheries Service agents, the head here, to ask, well, you know, we're going to be interviewed. Could you give us some information on these violations? We know that you gave them to us, but I can't find them. And wait, what do you mean you can't find them? You were representing that you were moving forward to prosecute. So now you're telling me you don't have the evidence, you don't have the information, and yet you want me to continue. And so this email is very painful to read, because it's one thing to be treated as you're stupid or a sucker, but it's another when you are a government agency and you prey on a person like myself, a public person who is not my job, it's just my love to do these things, to go out and put myself in harm's way because they're not. And now I understand, because they were managing. They are now acknowledging that they have a federally managed shark fin. Why didn't they speak up when the laws were passed? Why didn't they tell us that they would be objecting? Why would we have these laws in place and struggle to get them in place and have the law signed by the states? And then they then turn around and say, oh, it may be having an impact. So it is not just frustrating, it is criminal. And we talk about monies, but they take the basic fight out of public advocacy. They being NOAA. And it's unfortunate. If it's whales, for example, they boast how they're protecting the whales and what have you. We had 5 young whales to die. Similar age, similar size. They're not telling us if the big white golf ball that we just seem to be mesmerized with, oh, it's leaving today, oh, it's going to go into maintenance, oh, it just left again. But is this ball having an effect on the whales? Well, we wouldn't know, because they are basically struggling to force themselves to do necropsis, to look, dig in deep. And I'll tell you, I'm not suspicious of them, and I'm not paranoid and thinking that just want to create another theory. The white ball is part of a high radiated radiation, not radiation, a wave, microwave, or electronics, or whatever they're projecting to use in this radar. Here's the problem. We know that a while back, the calibration of the SIRTAS, surveillance underwater tow system, and the big boom box had impacts on the whales. Why did we have such whales, small whales, dying? Was there a study? Well, one instance, as I told you, William Eiler and his harbor master out there in Haleiwa didn't want the whale towed in because it might attract sharks into the harbor. This was a baby whale. But I must tell you, as I've told you before, William Eiler don't object when they're hauling in a marlin, that if a guy caught a marlin on a 19-foot boat, it doesn't have to be even 19-foot. They can actually sometimes you might see someone towing in a marlin that they've caught alongside the boat. So science is not their concern. Animals is not their concern. It's all about BS, you know, and I don't mean a big survey. So this is the frustration and that is out there, and these people are, they got their containment in the offices. They have the biologists who have learned to say nothing until they want them to talk. They have their biologists who walk around and get paid big bucks. They have the special agents who basically take orders from the Kitty Simons and the man above. And I don't mean God. Stay away from this. Don't investigate that. Oh, you got an informant that'll give you information. Get all the information, but don't act on it. So this is what we have here, not just in the States. You know, forget the NSA and all of that. We're being double-dipped in this whole process called government, folks. Nothing has integrity about it. Nothing. You get a guy who is appointed, who has the audacity to write a letter, to take an action, and threaten to act in a supremacist way because something may be. Now, I may be overreacting, but I'm proud of my reactions because, it's warranted. So, anyway, we know what a whale sounds like, and we know all of this, but I just thought, I was looking at something. I went out Poki Bay earlier this weekend, and I discovered out that side, there's a colony of shearwater, or Uaukani, and wedge-tail shearwater, and they're nesting on that. Just as a break, and some of earlier 2 years ago, someone reported that they have found 20 to 30 carcasses of bodies of the birds that were dead. And so now I'm going to try and work with that on the Heiau is where they're nesting. But I just thought I would bring, the hustle and bustle. And I just got through telling you about the conspiracies and my distrust for government and da-da-da-da. But I thought I'd bring back with you and share with you sounds that we don't hear. And maybe they're trying to, we know the sounds of the whale and we know the sounds of the dolphins. And some of you may be familiar with this sound, but I just thought, for me, it reminded me why I'm so interested in the theme called environmentalism and the protection, because it's a very fragile situation. So I want you to, I'm going to play about a 2 minute piece. And it's actually, it's not whales, it's not dolphins, it's the Uaukani. And they are ground nesting birds. And if you're walking in their areas, you can find them at Kaina Point. But I found this one to be really interesting because they're out there at the Heiau in Poki Bay. So I'll be back shortly, but I want to share with you this brief bit of sound. And see if they have any message for you. I'm not being kooky, but here we go. Thank you. Anyway, I thought I would share that with you. You won't hear that over the ambulances flying down the highway. You won't hear that with the cars driving and rubber on the road. You won't hear that. But if you take some time, you will hear it. And the amazing thing is, as I say, they're nesting below ground or under boulders. And this bird, I would say, not the canary in the cave, but it's saying something. I mean, over the years, and this bird is impacted by the fishing industries, and National Marine Fisheries Service has some management practices that affects the birds. So imagine with this man able to take an action to undermine the efforts we've put forward on the shark finning and to ban that. The world's population of shark has drastically declined. There is the dusky shark industry, fishing industry in the Gulf that is also, there's some noticeable negative impacts on that. So we know that out in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, the Western Pacific Fisheries Council had a negative impact on through its management on lobster fisheries and also octopi, and which are play a critical role in the development of the monk seal. So now the same kind of mentality, these geniuses that we see appointed from the Coast Guard, they know how to navigate a ship, but they're going to run us aground when it comes to the protection of our natural resources. And so what can you do? I would ask that you call the governor, for our state at least, and ask the governor to object and oppose any changes in the shark fin law and demand that an immediate effort on the federal level to create stronger laws and to prosecute. So you can call the governor at 586-0034, 586-0034. If you're inclined to send him an email, governor.abercrombie@hawaiispellitout.gov, 586-0034. Now, I'm not being emotional here. It's just that I tend to have my fingers on the pulse from a standpoint. I've been in the protection role. I've worn the badge. I've been inside of government. I can tell you it's corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. But it's rare do we get the chance to see where people. And then there's another point here that kind of, this is my take now. This is a little interpretation. But in his email, Tosato says to the people that he's sending out, as he's big brother and they're just little Indian camps or whatever you call them, NIMS would like to minimize conflicts between federal and state laws, and it would be useful to provide any concerns you have during the comment period. In other words, keep it quiet amongst yourself. Don't run out and alert the rest of the people. You know, we'll just have that. Let them send their comments, and we'll pretend basically we're going to listen to this. But the man in his email, he's already telling them, this is a done deal, and if you don't like it, if you don't agree with us and you oppose us, we'll just take under the Constitution, declare an act of supremacy and declare that your rules are not suitable for the federal government to protect its big buddy friends. You see, money is the root of all evil, but I don't really believe that all the time. I believe the root of all evil is integrity. If you don't have any, then that's where it starts from, because you could have all kinds of crooks out there waiting, looking for someone. They just need the sucker to bite. So this is a big problem, and it speaks to many things. We can't afford to go backwards. Sharks are the apex species in the oceans. An imbalance in the ecosystem If they're not there, there's going to be a population of fish or species in the food chain that will get out of hand, and then we have no control. It's always going to be an upset. We see it at the Kaibab predator control, where the president in the past, now in Arizona, went out and shot all the predators that would eat the ungulates or the deer and what have you. And they saw an explosion of deer, a population that started to denude and overpopulate the environment there. So I don't know. That Ual Kani or the Shearwater, it for me, some say that's a weird call. But it's funny. They have been here for eons speaking the same language. They know their place on this earth. They know that they all they need is a place to scoop a hole out, dig in, lay one egg, incubate that egg, bring back the oils from the fish or the fish that they catch, gorge the babies, and leave the baby in the nest to fend for itself for a short period. And the baby leaves and fleds and flies out if he's successful, if humans don't come along and kill them. So, again, that call is, that's on land. The average person don't get the chance to hear the whales unless you go out swimming, and then you have to be amongst them. But I thought I would, for us land lovers, I thought I would play that and let you hear. That's what nature sounds like. Believe it or not, some of you probably thought it was going to be sound like a siren or a police car chasing someone or some loud music booming. But really, this bird, if you stand there and you can't see them, and this call takes place in late evening and goes into the night. And so if you're sitting there and the wind chill blowing off the ocean and you hear it, it's not eerie. It depends on what perspective you're coming from or viewing it. It could be, but then if it's on a hay owl, maybe that's another connection. But if you get a chance, go out to Kaina Point and try and find out the dates and times and that they're available in nesting. Go out there and you can hear an orchestra of the Ual Kani. And if you're quiet, you can just sit on the trail and you will see them come fluttering in and lighting like little butterflies. They can fly right over your head and you'd never hear them. And I mean practically hit you in the face and you would never see or hear them. They're that quiet. And so anyway, I thought I'd play that with the intent of sharing with you. When you have an agency like the Western Pacific Fisheries Council, and when you have a willing and able cohort or co-conspirator, such as Michael Tosato, the official title that he has is regional administrator. But I know how he got his job, because he was willing to do exactly what he's doing in this letter. Screw the environment, screw the environment, screw the environment. And if you don't like it, he then reminds you that he is the federal government. And you know what the federal government do. They screw the environment, screw the environment, screw the environment for the sake of the buck. So anyway, what do we do with this? If you were to call come whale season and you see a whale and it's entangled, has a buoy and a rope or net around its neck, and it's thrashing and can't breathe, barely breathing, barely maybe have another day or two to live. You pick up the phone, you're standing there at Hanama Bay, and you see all of this, and you're worried, and you pick up the phone, and you call the super agency, the National Marine Fisheries Service, or its subsidiaries, and you tell them, I'm standing here at Hanama Bay, and there is a whale entangled. I can see him. I have pictures. I'll send you the pictures and show you the ball that's floating and the rope that's it's dragging behind it. It's having a difficult time in breathing. And then that person say to you, sir, what state is this in? Are you calling from? Because you see, our natural resources are so important to the National Organization Against Animals, or NOAA. It's so important, and a whale entangle is so critical that they hire and farm the work out to people in Washington State, for example. And then that person then tell you, well, look, give me your number, and I'll have somebody to call you, but I can't promise you it'll be today. Now, back to the location. Where are you, and what state is this in? I'm in Hawaii, and yeah, but whereabouts? I'm the island of Oahu. Where is that? You know, this is the kind of importance that have been assigned to the protection. And so many people put themselves out, like myself, put themselves out in harm's way to bring and ferret out the illegal and the clandestine behavior on shark finning, and how people were sneaking shark fins in. And the initially, I'm going to repost something and show you to what extent, when it comes to shark fin, how we got to the point where it was finally, thanks to former Governor Cayetano, he did in fact sign a shark fin bill a while back. And then Clayton, he and the other governor, the peer, Abercrombie, they went, and there is a bill that was passed and what have you. But the reality is, you know, NOAA stood by with the thumbs up their butt and soliciting information, pretending to prosecute and interested, but it was all shibai, one big lie. And now the law has taken effect, and it's having an impact on, maybe having an impact. Well, if it is having an impact, that is the desired effect that we sought in banning shark finning. We also know, for example, when you go back, you can go to EnviroWatch.org and see it. We'll put up a link there, and we've spelled it out, and you can see, in one instance, I recovered 11 tons of shark fin that were down on the pier, laid out. I exposed that, and that was National Marine Fisheries Service. They were going to take some action, and they told the media, oh, yeah, we're going to prosecute. Guess what? No prosecution. So now this email is full swing. It now gives me an insight, a greater insight, to why we never had prosecution by NOAA. They never intended. You talking about rogue cops. The National Marine Fisheries Service is a bunch of rogue cops, because they knowingly received information, complaints, pictures, video, intelligence, and all of that with open arms, and set on it, because they were not telling us that it was their purpose to manage, federally managed fisheries, shark fin fisheries. So when I think about Micronesia and the 6 and 18, 12 tons that were coming in from out there, and the 5 tons, a variety of shipments coming in from Micronesia, and I'm there reporting it, and guess what? They did nothing. I gave them video, gave them all details. They pretended to prosecute. Well, now the shark population out in that area, in the Marshall Islands, has been drastically impacted, changed. And so now it's understood why. So I don't know. Someone said, "But you know, it's the Asian nations that are causing the decline." No, it's the American nation, the smart guys, the intellects, the former NOAA the Coast Guard people, former special agents with the Secret Service, and all those people that work now for NOAA, that sit around putting on a big show. But if Chemo touches a turtle, or if Mary Lou swims with one and grab the fin, they skewer you to the ground. Because, you see, they need some kind of evidence that they enforce the law. Don't swim too close with dolphins. Don't come within 100 yards. We're going to check your boat if you're coming out of federal waters for fish. We're going to put monk seals on the shore because that's what we need to do. But we're not going to admit that we mismanage the fisheries out in the Western Pacific, in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. Decimated the population of, allowed fisheries to decimate population of octopus, lobster, which is critical in the diet of young, developing monk seals. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question? Well, that must have been the National Organization Against Animals calling. Didn't want me to talk anymore about that, I guess. But anyway, just crazy. Here they go again. Let's see. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Disrupt. I loved your chant there. About being screwed, and all of a sudden I had to wake up so that I could hear the rest of your conversation. It seems that the Hawaii governor has become tempted as Richard Bereke in his editorial this week said with regards to the inaction of the governor to solidify what the Supreme Court has been doing this week on marriage rights. And I'm just calling in to encourage your listeners to write to the governor at governor.abercrombie@hawaii.gov and let him know that our gay and lesbian sisters and brothers and children deserve every right that us non-gays have. Mm-hmm. It's really simple. It's very, very simple. And the California, the most populous state in the nation, has already gone forward with it. But if we don't do something in our state, we're going to be left out, and people are going to lose. One of the editorials today talks about dignity. The dignity of this whole concept, this whole discussion that we've been having for over 20 years in Hawaii. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to belabor the point. You know, I'm hoping that I tuned in late, like 25 minutes after the hour and 8 o'clock. So I just am appalled that we. Supposed to be the Aloha State. We're supposed to be Pono. We're supposed to love our keiki. Yet, so far, we haven't had an automatic call for a special election, special session, to bring the rights that the Supreme Court gave us mm-hmm. this week. You know, but
well, that says a lot about the Democratic Party. They want our trust, and they. Court us, but when it comes down to civil rights and other things, they are sluggish. So
yep.
What's the explanation? I know some of the diehard Democrats will go, well, you know, I think that this is the defining day. The other day when DOMA was passed, it brings to the table who are really civil rights minded and who are not. So you get to know what a real Democrat is, and then you get to know what a real BSer is. So, guys, and this goes with many issues. You know, I'm just reading something. I think you sent me an email, you shared one, where Gabbard is saying he won't commit. You know, I'm just, it's offensive for people to be in government. On one hand, he's saying that we may not see eye to eye on this, but we can see eye to eye on other things. Well, why don't you just stop seeing eye to eye and go heart to heart and understand that these are people's lives you're impacting, Mr. Gabbard, and you other Democrats? But we should be forewarned and we've had ample warning already to know that if a Republican can wake up, go to bed at night on a Saturday from being drunk and stupid, and wake up and declare he's going to become a Democrat tomorrow morning, we should have known a long time ago that the Democratic Party isn't what it's all talked up to be.
Well, recently at the county convention, I was approached by one of the regulars, and he said to me, well, Carolyn, you have to be proud that the Democratic Party has certainly come a long way since you first started championing this cause and when you became a Democrat. And I said, well, I guess I'm not ready to, you know, throw a party yet. Once we get liberty and justice for all, then I'll consider it. And there is a movement aboard because Gabbard has gone his one step. You know, it's like those baby steps everyone says we have to take for truth and justice. Well, he kept baby stepping his way around with that, like that email I sent you, that has now hopefully gone viral. Anyway, Gabbard did more than just vote his conscience or this is just one more issue. He violated the state, the county, and the state Democratic platform, which promotes equal rights for marriage. And so he's being brought up on charges, not because he voted his own way, but because he proposed, signed into the record, a law that would define marriage as between one man and one woman.
Yeah.
And that is actively going against the party platform. And so within the next couple of months, they've been interviewing all of the people that have been brought up on charges, mainly him and Sharon Haar, because they introduced it in their respective houses. Mm-hmm. But there are a total of 11 mm-hmm. Democrats, 10 of them from this island and one from the island of the Big Island,
right,
who signed on to this preposterous bill. So this is not just voting their conscience,
right,
you know, that, you know, we're all supposed to have the right to do. But yeah, when you become a Democrat, you're supposed to, at least that's why I signed on, was promote and agree with the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's gone beyond the platform. Now it's at the Supreme Court level, and they've supported our platform and
mm-hmm.
supported the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
So, you know, he really has no leg to stand on. And everyone that says, oh, but he's good on the environment, they have to look at what he does for the environment. He makes money. He gets grants to go out to the schools and put on cute little vignettes about, but what does he do?
Yeah.
I want to know what he actually does. Does he go out like you and protect the environment or bring, I mean, he's a senator.
Yeah, but you know, the key here is that while I look at him with jaundiced eyes now and have for a long time, anybody that interfere with civil rights because of their religious beliefs and all of that, belief I say now, because I haven't seen anybody bring God into the courtroom, physically bring God into the courtroom, bring God into the legislative process and say, God, tell them all. I haven't seen that, but so it's those guys that are sitting there believing. So that's okay, but here's what's painful about Mike Gabbard and the likes of him. And I don't mean to pick, because the Democrats are just as evil, because if they don't get the message now, they should have been out there committing to doing
mm-hmm.
what's right, consistent with Dharma, but so much for that. Here's what's painful. Women couldn't vote at one time, correct?
Correct.
So imagine you have a Mike Gabbard fighting against women's rights to vote. And then they say that a woman's right was never to be in the House. So imagine if we had a Mike Gabbard out there, and I'm sure we did have one, but before his times. But imagine, here he is objecting to the civil rights of some, but then his daughter and his family are benefiting beautifully, because his daughter now, because others went out there and fought against this male chauvinistic mindset we had in America to deny women their rights,
mm-hmm.
are able to vote, and they're able to serve in Congress and be in politics, and it's a norm.
Yep.
Imagine if we had that kind of Mike Gabbard, there wouldn't be a Tulsi Gabbard. You understand?
Right.
So
that's
what's really sticks in Mycroft. The other things, it'll work out. It's that evil, selfish behavior, religious feud mindset that all of these dudes need to abandon, because, you know, debate, is it civil rights? Is it not? Is it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not their right to debate that.
That's
the Supreme Court, and then now they're the Democrats, and then the Republicans. Now, I don't want to be unfair, because I didn't see them out there parading and celebrating either.
That's right.
You know,
nope.
So, you know, but the Gabbards and all those, and the Sharon Haars, who I remember, she couldn't even be in government, because they say a woman's place was in the House and not in the House of Representatives in the old days, remember?
Right.
So I just have to remind, that is what bothers me. I don't know all the details and the legal aspects, but from the humanistic standpoint, they suck.
Well, you know, this, I'm so glad you brought up the religious aspect. And while we do have several churches, many churches that support our gay and lesbian children, there's way too many, like the Catholic Church and Mormons and all of the evangelical, the Hope Chapels and all them, that use their religious freedom to cram down our throats their bigotry. And this came out of a poster just put out that I found, that someone brought to my attention this week, and it says, religious freedom means the right to make decisions for yourself, not the power to use your dogma to control other people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, if Americans could just get that understanding, then we wouldn't allow the religious bigots to control us. You know, someone said, oh, you, Carolyn, you're always after the Catholic Church. And I said, no, you know, I equally go after any church that takes their freedom. You know, they don't pay taxes. They paid, what, $300 on multi-billion dollar pieces of property. And they don't pay any taxes at all on any of the income they have, because they're so what, non-profit.
Well, my when it comes to the word church, I have to remind myself, there are some churches that take rattlesnakes and put them in bags and stick their hands in them. So, you know, I stop at that and go, ouch. You know,
ouch.
I don't want to hear the philosophical aspects of it.
That's right.
And the good book. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how could a church have a collection of such people that would be daring? If you know what a rattlesnake would do for you,
mm-hmm.
it would bite you in the occoli or anywhere if he gets the opportunity. So imagine, and they too are objecting to gay rights. The same people mm-hmm. that will stick their hand in the bag of snakes. Wow. And then our legislators go and listen to those same snake handlers.
Yeah,
you know why?
That's it.
Because they're snakes. They're lying to us. The legislators are lying, and they're holding back. And they, too, probably some of them come from some of those snake-handling churches. So,
well, I've been chastised by one senator because when I, you know, this whole month, today's the last day of June, and our president proclaimed June as Pride Month. And so I sent out an email with his proclamation and saying this is what a, you know, congratulating the president on such a you know, democratic way of looking at things, and said this is what a real Democrat does. Oh, my gosh. this one senator got all upset with me.
Who is that senator? I mean, see, there's a lot of who are they? Name him. I mean,
oh, okay, Josh Green.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, and so he said that, well, that he was a true Democrat and that he supported my rights and others, and but he was having a hard time getting the rest of them to stand up for what I'm asking for,
mm-hmm.
because I was insulting them.
Right.
And I had to wait a couple of days to respond to that, because it's more than an insult when the 2013 legislature refused, absolutely refused, to hear the Bill of Marriage Rights.
Right.
Now, that's more than an insult. That's a betrayal of our platform, of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing was, he didn't quite get the message, because he sent me back another one, you know.
Right.
And I'm laughing. I'm thinking, my God, man, you get paid to protect the rights and welfare of the people of the state of Hawaii,
yeah.
yet you won't hear a bill.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's keep it away from the people and keep it
that's
away
right.
from the town.
But guess what? There is a awakening point. I just received an email from
a
good friend.
Shoot it out right quick, because
okay. And Senator Green has now come over to the Constitution side, and he now supports having a special session.
Well, good. Well, good. We need justice. The process,
so,
at least afford people the process. When you
there
deny
you go.
That process, then you're evil. So anyway,
so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you
aloha.
For listening to me.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Imagine them telling Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King, why don't you just hold off? Don't be such a radical right now. Because the other folks, there are people thinking there in South Carolina, in the capital, to free blacks or to allow blacks equal opportunities and afford them the voting right and all. But hold off right now. Don't speak too much. You know, don't upset them. Well, let's not upset anybody and demand our rights. And we really shouldn't have to demand them, because when we're asking for our rights, generally we're asking demand. We're asking demand to give us our right back. Isn't that sad? But anyway, we'll talk to you next week and hope that it was helpful, and we'll get you posted on some of Hawaiian homelands. I'm still working on that, and I got some juicies and some good examples of how the process of renting rips the native Hawaiians off, and native Hawaiian businesses get screwed while outsiders get to walk in and avoid the process. Stay tuned, and I'm definitely going to like this one. Aloha. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.